this is the key here. The bigger issue is some employees are afraid to come to work, and so many don't show up as they are getting paid more collecting unemployment. We never know how many people will actually show up for work until the day of, and that's why it's so hard for us to get a good grasp on what is being produced. And it goes on to say that it is the 19th of May, 2020. I am back with another episode of the Food Service Distribution Podcast. I'm your host, David Layton, and let's get into it. Today, I wanted to read a quick email that I received about a protein production plant in the U.S. Now, I don't want to point to any specific companies, but we're seeing this type of communication and this type of impact getting pretty widespread. And I think it's very important to know. This would be a follow-up to the supply chain and how the food supply chain works video that I recorded about a week ago. I talked about labor being a major concern at production facilities. So we have the first step of the supply chain is going to be the farmer or the manufacturer. It goes to a processing facility, then it goes to a distributor slash redistributor, and then it goes to the retailer who sells the food product to the customer. So today I got an email. I'm just gonna read through it. There's not much more explanation that needs to be said. This is pretty shocking. Are pretty surprising. I didn't realize that the numbers were quite this bad, and this leads me to believe that we're probably going to have some more concerns going into Q3, probably Q4. I really don't want to freak anybody out, but this is the reality that we're dealing with. We have a very, very disconnected public-facing stock market and equities market showing the condition of the U.S. economy is strong. And that just does not correspond at all with the unemployment numbers and with a lot of the production numbers that we're seeing in the U.S. and abroad, honestly. So here's the email. Things change hourly, but we are still working on getting production and the reporting streamlined. Our issue is labor. We have 33,000 employees, but down 40% of our workforce. Anybody 60 years and older are not allowed to work in the plants right now. They were sent home paid. 10,000 employees have been sent home positive with COVID. They have been sent home paid. Then the 9 people at the plant that they had come in contact with sent home as well for 2 weeks to quarantine paid. Bigger issue is some employees, and this is the key here. The bigger issue is some employees are afraid to come to work and so many don't show up as they are getting paid more collecting unemployment. We never know how many people will actually show up for work until the day of, and that's why it's so hard for us to get a good grasp on what is being produced. And it goes on to say that we are having, these are our yields, and da-da-da-da, this is what we're dealing with, there's no allocation process, and basically saying that there's no way to guarantee POs. So our purchase orders, other purchase orders around the country have been absolutely decimated. We're looking... the numbers have been pretty crazy, anywhere between 15 and 40% of what's being ordered. And our customers on the backside, and if you're a restaurant or a distributor yourself, you know this, customers are going out and dining at restaurants or taking out drive-through. I know some states have opened up dine-in and a lot of chains haven't really jumped on that yet, but it's coming. It's happening. Sales are starting to increase. We saw the first spike when weather was good up here in the Pacific Northwest over Mother's Day weekend, and we're probably going to continue to see those numbers steadily increase. To give an idea of where our customer groups are, I was chatting with a group earlier today, and they showed that around week 18, week 19, and so that's just 2 weeks ago, their sales spiked as high as 60% over that weekend, year over year. So that's not just 60% from where they were the previous week. That's year over year. And this is a unique chain that does a lot of low-priced bakery-type items and coffee, and it's drive-through. So a lot of that has to do with some of their competitors being closed. But we're seeing this incredible spike where the demand has increased up to 100% of where it was just a week or two previous, and we are unable to fill POs or get our POs filled, and the manufacturers are unable to produce at the level that we need to fulfill our customer groups. So we're not alone in this. Every other distributor that I've talked to are having equally as or worse of a time, equally as bad or worse of a time securing product. And we're seeing across chains fill rates that are, in any other circumstance, we get a distributor fired on the spot. So there is there's a lot of gravity, a lot of weight behind this email, behind this communication that I just read. And I think that people need to at least get themselves mentally prepared for what the next couple of quarters are going to look like. So if production ramps back up and we're able to get all of these cases taken care of, everything goes back to full capacity, there still are going to be implications for the next quarter, the following quarter. So at least over the next 6 months, we're still going to see serious concerns within the supply chain. And I know you're sick of hearing that, all of these different nodes and different pieces of the supply chain. You know, you're sick of hearing people say that there's problems and it's broken. And it's not that that's just a blanket statement. It's that there are so many different components to it that it is absolutely going to take the next minimum 6 months just to catch up with where we are now, if that makes sense. So pinpointing the problem is not an easy thing to do, but I think that what I explained here today in the communication that was sent to me paints a pretty good picture of why the processing portion of the supply chain is getting absolutely decimated right now. The last thing that I'll say is the reason why I pointed to the bigger issue section of this is employees that are either afraid to come to work or are home collecting unemployment. The reason why I pointed that out is that that is not just food supply chain. That is every industry. Anybody who, I mean, what are the numbers? Making less than, I think, 55 grand a year, which is an exceptional amount of people in the United States, are collecting as much or more than what they were making working 40 hours a week. And that's for anyone who is working 20 hours, who got their time cut in half, or for anyone who is just collecting unemployment at home, you know, watching Netflix and playing video games and making as much or more than they were before. So why would they be incentivized right now to try and go out and look for work? I'm not sure how far past. I think we have until August before most of the CARES Act additions or the CARES Act portions of the unemployment checks or unemployment going to individuals runs out. But if you get into the habit over this 6 month period of being home and not working and collecting any sort of assistance, you're probably going to be incentivized to keep that going just because you're used to collecting money from the state or from the government. And that, of course, gets us into the what's known as universal basic income or UBI. And there are a lot of arguments one way or another, whether that's a good thing. But you need to remember that there is no such thing as free money. There's no such thing as free energy. And you have to give energy and time and production or productivity in order to receive money to make a living. That's how you contribute to society. So no matter how you spin it, getting into the habit of collecting money from a centralized entity and not giving out any production in return is a very scary, dangerous thing. So that's where I'll leave it. I wish it was more of a positive note today, but I think that this is important for us to realize the reality of what we're up against and just to try to get that mental framework put together for what your next steps are, how you're going to combat the next few months or next few quarters. And a lot of people are going to come out of this a lot stronger than they were before. So I don't mean to paint a totally doom and gloom picture. A lot of people will come out of this much, much stronger than they were before, but they have to be thinking for worst case scenarios or second in line, second best scenarios, if that makes sense. Don't be a victim here that does not come out of this stronger than you were before. A lot of people are going to roll over and decide that this is it and this is too much, and they're going to fire their employees and shut the doors. And the ones who don't do that are going to get the majority of, or the rest of the market share in that industry It's going to be especially noticeable in the restaurant industry and in food service distribution as a whole. So you can make the choice here on whether you're going to power through this, take some of that market share and come out stronger and better than you were before, or opt out of this, close the doors and collect checks from the federal government. Your call. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching. Go ahead and look me up on Twitter at Food Service Pod. Give suggestions for shows. Anybody wants to come on the show, reach out. And I will, of course, as usual, put a recommended video that you might like right here. And then you can subscribe to the show right over here. All right, cheers. Have a good afternoon. Happy Tuesday. Take care. Bye-bye.